America.
Wake up, America!
Wake up, America. It's time for Michael Dean After Dark. I'm your host, Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and this is the Late Night Feisty Liberty Show. We have a rotating stable of interesting insomniac co-hosts. Plus, we leave the phone lines open. So if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, please call in. Please call in. This is Mr. Michael Dean.
Please say the whole thing.
Hold your kitties tight. There's a blood moon rising. Now the blood moon's gone. It's all gone. I watched it last night when I had Nikki Darling on the show. It was pretty special. She couldn't see it. She's near D.C. and all the hot air rising from D.C. kind of obscures the visibility. So did you see it, Davi?
No, I missed it. I was knee deep in bureaucracy last night.
Tax day stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a friend I talked to tonight. I called him like an hour ago and was chatting. And he was like, yeah, I have to go start doing my taxes now. And I'm like, start? Like, he's like, yeah, online. And I'm like, they're due in like 2 hours. And he's like, oh, an hour. I'm like, okay, man. For someone that hates paying taxes, I pay them as early as possible to get them out of the way because they kind of make me crazy, and I don't like to be crazy. So we actually paid them and got our refund back in our bank account like 3 weeks before we noticed it was in there, which I guess is a quality problem. Because if I was starving, I'd be checking bank account every day for it. But we spent it on tickets to Porkfest.
I can't stomach it, so I have to do it in little bites. I start at the very beginning. I do maybe 5 or 10 minutes of sorting, and then I'm like, I can't do this anymore.
your soul goes,
right. And then by the end, I'm kind of scrambling, but I've done most of the prep work, so it's really just a matter of filling in the boxes at that point.
Well, that's one of the liners on the Freedom Fiends is it says is your tummy upset from too much of the state? The Freedom Fiends will hold your hair back, stick their finger down your throat while you hurl.
Right.
Yeah, to get the state out of your tummy.
I feel like it's a poison. I feel like it's a toxin in my body that I have to purge.
It really is. And, you know, you're really into zombie stories. And I never really was much for zombie stories, although I've been watching the show House and really enjoying it. And I guess it's kind of has some modern zombie aspects because there's a lot of people being brought back from the dead with paddles in that. And there's actually one, you know, every medical show has to have the episode where they go to do the autopsy and the guy screams and wakes up. And
yeah,
they had that one. But, you know, I kind of feel like statists, people who love the state and think the government should control everything, I kind of feel like they're zombies and we who believe in liberty are the uninfected. You know,
is why I love zombies.
Is
that
it
is
why?
Precisely why I love zombies.
Yeah, because I was watching the coverage on this thing in Nevada, which has been done to death. But, you know, basically, if you don't know the story, the state of Nevada tried to steal a bunch of land that belonged to some rancher and said it belonged to them and took his cows, and a bunch of angry Americans showed up, some of them with guns and a lot of them with cameras, and had a standoff with the Fed Bureau of Land Manglement. And
I just had like a vision of like an army of libertarian zombies like wandering down the street saying, worms, worms,
instead of brains.
Yeah, because that'll be aggression.
I never told you the story, did I, about when my girlfriend at the time and I went as zombies in San Francisco on Halloween?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, we went, you know, I put on an old suit. She put on an old like white frilly, you know, marriage dress from the 1800s, it looked like. And we put baby powder on and we put on like blue lipstick and, you know, white face powder. So we looked like dead zombies. And I was wearing like, you know, a suit somebody to be buried in. And we were on heroin. We were drug addicts at the time. But, you know, you still party in San Francisco because, you know, that's what the welfare state is about. Like, even if I had a job, too. But, you know, like in San Francisco, mm-hmm. you can be a drug addict and still get like, you know, have a job,
still be mayor,
and be mayor, yeah, and you know, get flat screen TVs free. So that's what taxes pay for. So
you know, I not only do I think zombies are the state, I think they're the democratic state because
the Democrats.
They're democracy.
Yeah,
because they outnumber the survivors. They're the only monster that outnumbers the
yes,
victims.
Yeah.
So they are a democratic monster. They yep. And just like a democratic monster, they turn your family against you. I mean, they subsist on eating out the substance of others. They, you know, they're perfect Democrats.
Yeah, they are. And speaking of perfect Democrats, so
they're
we're
equal. They don't care if you're black or white or woman or
speaking of total Democrat zombies. So my girlfriend and I are on heroin walking through the Castro district, which is the gay district in San Francisco. And they have the big street party on Halloween in the Castro. Yeah. And we're walking down the street with our arms out going, brains, brains. And some really, really lispy gay guy pointed at us and said, oh, look, two blondes looking for brains. I was like, I have been zinged, sir.
So wait a minute. You walk through the Castro saying brains. You dress up as zombies. I think you're a closet zombie fan, Michael.
Oh, I don't know. It was probably just the easiest costume that we could make without spending any money, because I had an old suit and she had an old dress and she had some weird, weird colors of makeup.
You know, if you want to do a really cheap zombie costume, Elmer's glue and fruit punch works really well.
Elmer's glue and fruit punch. Powdered fruit punch or liquid fruit punch?
Powdered fruit punch. It makes it mixes with the glue. It makes a nice blood. You can peel it and stretch it, and it makes weird textures on your skin.
So we, Nikki and I came up with a new name for Facebook last night because there's so much beefing on it. We're calling it Face Beef now.
That's good.
I think people should spread that. Call it Face Beef.
It's like a pod beef, but in the chat room or whatever.
What's cooking on Face Beef today? Do you know?
I don't know.
It's a trick question.
Really.
It's a trick question. Who cares is the answer.
Yeah, who cares is the answer.
I did an interview on School Sucks podcast. It's pretty funny. That just came out today. It's pretty great, actually. I really like the way that that guy does radio, Brett.
Yeah, I like that show. He's really professional about it, too.
He is, too. Like, he did an intro that made it sound like a cross between NPR and Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood with jazz music, and it was done really well.
Yeah, you know, his buffers are always genius.
Yeah, is that a word, buffer?
Isn't that the word? I thought that was buffer music is bumper, the music bumper. At either end of something.
Bumper.
It's bumper. Okay. Well, buffer is still a word.
It is a word. And we are buffing Liberty to a high shine here today. And here's some of my Liberty. Do you know what this is? Can you count this and know what it is by listening?
That sounds like 3-4. That sounds like 7 ounces of silver.
Yep.
Maybe.
Yep. And I've actually got 20 pieces of silver, 10 more, and I could sell out the Lord and Savior. That's
awesome.
that's a bad joke, man. But you know why the Bible has the 30 pieces of silver? You know what the what that meant, the 30 pieces?
It was I know that it measured to be equivalent to something.
It was the price of a slave.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Do your people celebrate Passover?
My people? Yeah. No.
Your people.
You do mean Muslims? Is that what you mean?
Yes, your people. You people.
I don't own any people, Michael.
You called your wife your pet. I call my wife my pet, too.
My wife is my pet.
I think you and I are the only two guys in Liberty that could call our wives our pets and get away with it.
Maybe. I don't know.
I could see that turning into a Face Beef on Face Beef.
So, no, Muslims don't celebrate Passover, as far as I know. Passover is, it's the Egypt thing, right? It's the killing the firstborn son of Egypt and
painting your door with the blood of a beast. I don't know. Yeah,
I saw this movie. Charlton Heston saved everybody.
Yeah, and then he went on to be a
Muslims do absolutely believe in Moses, and Moses is actually mentioned in the Quran more than Muhammad.
Yeah, this is the thing that would fry the brains of most Christians to know, like, how much you people believe in some of the same things Christians believe in. What do you believe in that Christians believe in? Other than like basic tenets of goodness.
Muslims believe in the Old Testament and the New Testament.
It right there. That would fry the brain of most Christian enough, conservatives. Huh? Yeah, you could keep going, but you could stop there and just jaws are dropping in America right now.
Yeah, they believe in the prophethood of Moses and Jesus and Abraham. They believe that Jesus, or we believe that Jesus was unique among the prophets in the sense that he was a miraculous birth and he was sort of a word of God. We don't believe that he died and resurrected and is part of a trinity, though. Islam is strictly monotheist.
Well, some branches of Christianity are, too, aren't they?
I would say a lot of them, yeah.
Aren't Coptic Christians monotheistic?
Pretty much any of them before the Council of Nicaea.
Oh, man. This is getting deep and weird and reminding me of high school when we had the good religion teacher who was smart.
Yeah, but you know why? You know why I like Moses and why he's sort of one of my favorites just on the subject of Passover?
Because Charlton Heston brought him to life on the silver screen.
Played him.
Really?
Why.
Is that the reason?
No, my reason is because, well, first off, he's orphaned, and this is a motif among a lot of prophets is that they're orphaned. But he's raised by the state. He's like, you know, he's raised in the house of the Pharaoh. He's raised to be sort of part of the elites. He's sort of, and then he gives away all of that. You know, like Jesus is offered everything in the Bible and he rejects it, but Moses actually had everything and he rejected it.
Yeah, Moses. I liked him in Planet of the Apes too, which is a weird movie.
Oh, that's so good.
Have you seen the new ones of that?
I'm not happy with the new ones.
Really? I really like the one that takes place in San Francisco, or maybe they all do. The one that ends with them, the one where they're like killing police on, well, I'm not saying
one where Hobgoblin raises a digital monkey. Is that the one you're thinking of?
I don't know what you're talking about, but I know that there's a standoff on the Golden Gate Bridge between monkeys and cops.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. What I mean is the actor who's the key role there also played the Hobgoblin in the Spider-Man movies.
But I don't know what that is.
Okay. So that was a good movie. Of the new
I love doing Apes. Radio with you, Davi. How many topics have we covered in the last 37 seconds?
More than
Moses, Islam, Christianity, the price of Jesus's being sold out, Hobgoblins, Golden Gate Bridge, monkeys versus cops. There were a couple other things in there too. Price of silver in ancient times. Yeah.
What people don't realize is that this is all very carefully orchestrated.
Yeah, you and I have been working on this for 3 weeks. We're reading from a teleprompter, man. Yeah. Yeah. The Koch brothers email us our script a week ahead of time. It's written by out of work Hollywood act writers.
You know, I keep hearing that from Democrats in Congress, but I have not seen $1.
I'm waiting for my check. You know, you're nobody till you've been accused of being a Koch Brothers sellout, and I've been accused of it. If there's a review by someone I don't know of Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom on Amazon that says it's funded by the Koch Brothers, Koch Brothers. Crotch Brothers? What is it?
I don't know. I don't know how to pronounce it.
We'll be back.
Coke.
They do Coke? No. The Coke Brothers. We don't do Coke, and we're waiting for our Coke checks. We'll be back on Michael Dean After Dark with Davi Barker.
You were destined to be listening to this show, Michael Dean After Dark, on this very night. Thank you for arriving. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Sing with me, Davi.
Worms.
Yeah. This is what radio sounds like now. It's going to scare off all the normal people. So, Davi, I have a question about my 20 pieces of silver that I'm going to bring to Porkfest to engage in free commerce with. You've traveled on a plane with silver before, right?
Yeah.
Give me your experience, strength, and hope.
I've never had any problem traveling with silver before.
Do you check it or carry it on you?
I carry anything valuable.
Even if you have, but don't you trust if you put it in your luggage and get the TSA approved locks for your luggage?
No, they break those. You know, it's not even the TSA searching the bags anymore. I got a slip in my luggage from something called Covenant Security.
That
so TSA
like
is outsourcing
to witches.
The Covenant Security. The Covenant, like the last Covenant or the first Covenant, whatever. The TSA is outsourcing searching our luggage to a private company now.
Wow. What's the name of this company? I think we need to do a search on this.
It's called Covenant Security, I think. Or maybe it's Covenant Travel Authority or something.
Wow.
But it's Covenant because they're trustworthy. See, it's right there in the name.
Covenant Travel Security. SFO. Yeah. Covenant Aviation Security. Man.
Is it just SFO?
Well, no, this is the SFO section of their website.
Oh, okay.
They look like TSA goons. They're in blue shirts. They look like Nazis. You know,
they're the Blackwater of TSA. That's what they are. They're a private contractor that does what the TSA was hired to do but can't because
they're incompetent.
They're incompetent.
Well, you know, did you know that the guy who runs Blackwater considers himself a libertarian?
Wow, really?
I know. When I first heard that, like, my jaw dropped. Like, oh.
Well, so does Glenn Beck.
Yeah.
And Bill Maher.
But in LibPair, in Libertarian Paradise, there would be things like Blackwater. They just wouldn't be doing the bidding of, you know, goons who want to murder all over the world.
No, they would just be transparent. They would be clean water.
Clear water. Yeah. Yeah. So tell me, any other advice? Like, just what? I'll just carry this over in my pocket or a purse, wife's purse or something?
I mean, I don't know what the actual rules are. But yeah, I mean, how much are you planning on carrying? Because I generally didn't.
$400 worth, like 20 ounces, 21 ounce things.
Yeah, I don't think that would be a problem.
Yeah, and I don't think these are like the kind that get you in trouble because they look like money. They're, they say 1 troy ounce. They basically are the design of a U.S. buffalo nickel, but they're dollar size, and they don't say dollar anywhere on them. They have a buffalo on the front. They say 1 troy ounce, 99.4.
Oh, they're the Lakota rounds.
And on the back, they have an Indian and say Liberty.
Yeah, those are the Lakota rounds.
Okay.
Those are the ones I buy.
They're nice.
Yeah, I like them.
How much do they cost over the price of the silver?
Maybe $4 or $6.
Yeah, yeah. Cool, man. So these are worth $24 each, not $20 each. Silver's down, man. It was like $30 a while back.
I like the Lakota rounds because there's like a wave of libertarianism that went through the Lakota Nation. And then on top of that, I feel like Native Americans have the strongest claim to like legitimate mining rights in this country. And so I like to buy mined things from them.
Are these made by the Lakota people?
Yeah, I think so. The bank, the Lakota Bank. Yeah.
So it's not just like the Washington Redskins.
No.
How do you feel about that? About the, you know, people who think that ball teams should change their names because they're insulting to some people.
I think as long as they receive public funding, people should be able to vote to force them whatever they want them to do. I think if people don't like the names of baseball teams, they shouldn't go to their games and they shouldn't publicly fund them and they should let those teams sink or swim.
I thought you were saying as long as Indians are taking money from the federal government,
I meant pro sports. Pro sports is a huge waste of public money.
And all whenever they build stadiums, it's always there's some tax bond to do it, you know?
Yeah, and they use eminent domain and they put out local businesses out of business and they, you know, it's a big old mess. And they claim it's going to mean some sort of like economic boom, but it never does statistically.
Yeah, I think Stossel actually did some math on that and did a show on that.
Oh, yeah?
My cats. You know my cats? Kitties. Yeah, so we do take phone calls here and the phone number is 1-855-660-4261. That's 1-855-660-4261. Or you can Skype. You have to send us a friend request, but to the Skype name is Kitty Feet One, like the feet of a cat, like that cat that's yelling in the background. KITTYFEET1. If you want to call in during the break, we'll get you on when we come back. Michael Dean After Dark with Davi Barker.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and yes, we're broadcasting this message into space. Meowbit is free software from the Freedom Fiends that allows you to effortlessly view .bit websites. Meowbit works on all browsers. .bit is a new type of web address that's not controlled by any government or corporation. And we'll show you how to register a .bit domain today using a few cents worth of Namecoin. If anyone ever shuts down your .com website, users will still be able to get to your site using your .bit address in our free software, Meowbit. Go to meowbit.com. That's meowbit.com. Michael Dean, relaxed,
the muscle relaxers are kicking in. Yeah, I'm on drugs. It's from a doctor. They're drugs that don't even get you high. They just make you stupid. It's muscle relaxers for my back pain, which is, you know, part of the problem of doing six shows, six nights a week. It takes a lot out of me. Doesn't leave a lot of time for other things. And if you want to help out, you can send money, Bitcoin, silver, Namecoin. We're the only radio show in the world that takes Namecoin as donations. And even if you don't have any money, you can help out without even spending a post-1964 dime by running one of your computers part of the time when you're not using it and being a torrent server. You can go to michaelwdean.com, go to the top of the page where it says Torrent Club, and there's a complete tutorial I've written. No, it says torrents. Not like Torrance, California, but like a torrential pour of water in the form of Michael Dean talk radio episodes and movies and Freedom Fiends and Nima Vidotti and Davi Barker. So we're going to do a little short call here. We got two callers so far. We got Liberty Phoenix. Go ahead, Liberty Phoenix. What's on your mind calling there from Illinois?
So I finished the user's manual the other day, and there was one part that in particular that really kind of maybe have to take a pause.
Okay.
When you were talking about your daughter, I was actually working outside, you know, just listening to it on my phone, and like,
hey, are you tapping on something there? I'm getting some weird background noise.
Is that better?
Yeah, because it stopped. So go ahead.
Yeah.
What user's manual is this?
Oh, it's a book I wrote called User's Manual for the Human Experience, Davi. It's my book on it's basically my libertarian self-help book and time management book. You can buy it
Michael
on Amazon.
W. Dean's Guide on Being Alive.
Yeah, or you can go to michaelwdean.com and click on Michael's Stuff. And then there's a link on that page, on the Michael's Stuff page, to you can either buy a paperback on Amazon, or you can download a free ebook or download a free audiobook. And I guess Liberty listened to the audiobook.
Yep.
So the thing about my daughter's death, what did that do?
Well, I kind of had to stop working and just kind of sat down in my truck for about 15, 20 minutes and just kind of reflecting on, you know, the type of dad that I've been. And, you know, I really don't have any more excuses. You know, I gotta be a better dad. I live in the same town, but I don't see them as often as I could. Their mom is getting married this summer, and when my oldest was like 2 and my youngest was 6 months, I left for boot camp for the Marine Corps. So they've always known me as kind of being disconnected from their lives. And I just kind of realized, you know, I just guess I have to stop not being there for them. I can't use anything as an excuse anymore. I mean, I really want to move
now.
My oldest is 8 and my youngest is 6, 7 to 5.
You're still young.
That's I'm touched that reading that book had some effect like that on you. Of making someone want to be a better parent. I think that's groovy, man. I mean, that wasn't the intended effect. I guess it was. The whole book is intended to like help people be better in everything. But, you know, I was just sharing that part about my daughter, my only child dying of leukemia, to talk about dealing with loss. And it was the biggest loss in my life. And, you know, you got to kind of make lemons out of lemonade, but that situation was so difficult, and I'm still coming to grips with it. You know, it's 2006. She died, and I still think about her every day, and I'm not going to have other kids. And, you know, I'm 50, my wife's 50 something. And I had a vasectomy like when my daughter was like 4, and I don't want to have kids. I don't want to adopt kids. But basically I think what I'm doing is trying to help other people, whether they're kids or not, or parents or whatever. I'm really jazzed that we have a regular fan calling who's 15, you know, not like I'm trying to be his dad or anything ridiculous like that, but I hate to say like the children are the future, but they kind of are. And, you know, if you can teach people or by example, even of just how to do things differently, I think that's a good thing, man. I'm glad the book had that effect on you.
Yeah. It just really made me appreciate, you know, the fact that I got him.
Cool.
And just want to say thank you.
All right, man. Pass that book on to some other people. I'm a big believer on tell two friends. That's my logo. It's actually taken from that's my motto. It's taken from an ad when I was a kid. It was kind of neat. It was like for a shampoo or something. And it was like the first thing I heard of an ad that was like viral marketing. This is way before the internet. It was like, and he told two friends, and she told two friends, and she told two friends, and he told two friends, and the screen is expanding with exponentially more and more people. And, you know, two people telling two people can spread to the world. So do it, man.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling in, brother. We had some notes. We were going to talk about gallows humor. Can you explain what gallows humor is, Davi?
Yeah, sure. It's sort of like, I think it originates from the concentration camps in Germany under National Socialism. But really? It's the idea that, yeah, it was that the Jews in the concentration camps sort of developed this kind of humor for dealing sort of with their plight. Well, I'm sure it's older than that. I'm sure it's as old as humans themselves. But it's the idea that by joking about or making light of a sort of dire situation that you can't change, it actually has some sort of beneficial psychological effect, and it, you know, it reduces depression and whatever. I mean, it does all the things humor does, but it's that specific kind of humor about making light of a dire situation.
Well, there are a lot of great Jewish comedians. Maybe that came out of that tradition. And a lot of them do a lot of really dark humor. Some of my favorite, I mean, Woody Allen, I don't care what anybody says about him. I really like Woody Allen. And
I'm a big Woody Allen fan.
More than liking Woody Allen, I think Woody Allen really influenced some comedians that are great, that have taken it, stood on the shoulders of giants and taken it to the next level. Like the redheaded guy. What's his name?
Carrot Top?
No. A good redheaded guy. There's three redheaded comedians.
I don't know.
Two of them are good. You named the bad one. Louis.
That's the only one I know.
Louis C.K., man. Louis C.K.
Oh, you think so? You think he's influenced brilliant. By Woody Harrelson.
He's brilliant. No,
by Woody Allen.
Yeah. And he's Jewish, too. He's, Louis C.K. is like, he's a real weird mix. He's like Jewish, Catholic, like Jewish, Polish, Catholic, Croatian, Mexican, I think is what he is.
That's interesting.
His, you know, he goes by Louis and then the letter is CK, but CK is actually the closest pronunciation to his actual last name, which is Slavic. And it has a bunch of consonants clustered together and some non-Western characters in it.
I think the movie Zelig, do you remember Zelig?
I remember it as being complicated and weird and not really understanding the plot. Wasn't it Woody Allen, like, photoshopped into a bunch of classic clips and other stuff?
It was presented as a documentary about this person who physically altered the way he looked to conform to everyone around him. And he had no personality of his own. He just completely mimicked everybody around him. And it had like a really strong effect on me because I was at that age in high school when conformity was kind of a big deal. And I was I was a nonconformist in a mostly conformist school. And I don't know. I just feel like I really benefited from it, like psychologically.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think it kind of influenced. What's the movie with Tom Hanks where he like is in every historical situation?
Forrest Gump?
Yeah, because it's another movie that has a lot of like photoshopping the main character into historical situations that they weren't in and they're a fictional person anyway.
I could kind of see that as a sort of as a genre.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if that'd been done before. But yeah, gallows humor. You know, I've heard this concept that that all humor is laughing at death, and that the laughter response that people have is basically something that people came to have over millennia to deal with the enormity of the fact that everyone's going to die someday.
Hmm. Well, I don't know. There's some pretty clean humor out there. So
yeah, I kind of feel like all of it though kind of comes down to something of death. If you really, you wouldn't even have to stretch that hard to find some of it. I also think that an interesting thing is that cuss words, dirty words in all languages are about the same things. They're all either about, you know, sex or defecation or, you know, anti-God, you know, making fun of God, being a heretic at God, or being unclean Or yeah. What are the other ones? Let's see.
You know what's interesting about that is that all the words we have for swearing are that also. Like, a curse is to, like, yeah. put a hex on someone. Yeah. Or to swear is to, like, swear an oath, which is sort of yeah. like the sacred, right?
Hmm.
Or vulgar, the original meaning of vulgar was common English as opposed to the Queen's English. The vulgar parlance, you know?
I heard that profanity didn't exist before a certain period in history.
I don't know.
Let's look that up during the
break. I heard that people who swear are more honest.
Not all of them. Because they have to lie to get on radio. We'll be back with more on Michael Dean After Dark after this trip to the free market on the post-moon.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
This is Michael Dean After Dark. Coming into your
man, I want to look up some of this music, but I'm afraid if, as a Muslim, I Google bomb, the NSA will come after me.
Only if your wife's in the other room cooking, doing pressure cookers or backpacks. Did you hear about that?
That's the Boston bomber, right?
Well, there was right after that happened, there was some couple. They were not Muslim. They lived in the area near Boston. And the husband was Googling or like shopping online for backpacks because they were planning a camping trip. And the wife was in the other room shopping for pressure cookers because she cooks. And that combination of those two searches at the same time from the same IP address got a knock on their door and got them hauled off for questioning.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my band Bomb, you can find too on a lot of the music's online. If you go to actually, it's all in the Freedom Fiends and Michael Dean After Dark torrent link. You can get all of it. But if you just want to get the music, you can go to michaelwdean.com and go to Michael's Stuff again, and there's a link to all the Bomb music on there. It's kind of the official site, is a page on my site. Because, yeah, we broke up like before there was really much of an internet, so it all happened later. We broke up in 91. There was not a web yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, gallows humor, man. Gallows. Talk more about gallows humor.
I'm trying to think, like, there's some, like, really clean jokes. I like to collect clean jokes because I have a little kid brother. And I don't think that they're all about death. So I got this joke. He doesn't get this joke because he's too young. But it's a grasshopper walks into a bar, and the bartender says, "Hey, we got a drink named after you." And the grasshopper says, "Cool, I'll take a Fred." So I'm having trouble imagining how that has to do with death.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I could really stretch and probably find it. But yeah, I see what you mean. I think, though, that in some grand way, absurdity has to do with staving off death, or the absurdity of life, and then then you die. And there's certainly a lot of absurdity in that joke.
It could just be like there's that liminal moment between when you realize what you're listening to doesn't make sense and when you realize how it does make sense. Like, there's that moment of confusion that's a lot like cognitive dissonance. Like,
which is like you're dying.
Maybe it is. I mean, like, that is a very dangerous sensation to a primitive animal, because that's the moment when you don't know if the predator is about to jump up behind you, right?
Well, I do know that when people die, their brain releases DMT, which is a psychedelic drug that's illegal. So technically, I think that police could and probably will start to arrest dying people for taking drugs.
And, well, they do that now.
Yeah. Well, for taking drugs they don't know they're taking, that their body is producing, that the cops themselves are walking around with that drug stored in their brain at all times. And that is a psychedelic sort of dissociative drug that I don't know. There's if you listen to Joe Rogan, who I was compared to today by Brett on the the School Sucks podcast. He said Joe Rogan has a whole thing about DMT, and he's an aficionado of that drug. And it occurs in nature, in plants and animals, which is kind of weird. Like, you know, toad licking. There are toads that contain psychedelics that are very close to DMT. And there are plants that contain it. And there are ancient cultures that are still around that use it in religious ceremonies. And Joe Rogan interviewed some scientists in a documentary that he narrated about DMT. It's called DMT, the Spirit Molecule. And it basically says that that drug exists in your brain to help you at the moment of death, to bring you into the next world.
You know, I could see how all of these things are kind of connected. Like everything we've talked about, like from humor to death to zombies. It's like all of these things are about like liminality. They're about sort of these unknown places between things we understand.
Yeah. I've always been interested since I was very young and probably before I could speak in the unseen and the unknown, which I think is one reason that school really frustrated me. We'll be back with hour two after this trip to the market. Say worms.
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 You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. Go to michaelwdean.com. That's michaelwdean.com.
Good evening, my fellow
worms. I know some things.
I'll be back with more later on.
I'm never satisfied.
This is Michael Dean After Dark.
The stato sperimentato.
I don't know
what I'm
saying. The United States government presents
no vision.
Congrats. Not having enough money.
The power was so great.
Estos por su parte consideran
to provide guidance to mankind.
Go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market on Michael Dean After Dark.
Bye for now.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives, and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. Shinybadges.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Yeah. It's time for hour two. Hour two of Michael Dean After Dark. The invigorating zombie show. It's not really about zombies, but anybody up this late at night probably has some of the aspects that are
feeling a little undead.
Feeling a little undead? Call in if you're feeling a little undead at 1-855-660-4261. That's 1-855-660-4261. 4261. Or you can,
or how about the juiciest brains in radio?
Oh, I like that. That's really good, man, for a zombie show. So why did you say all libertarian humor is gallows humor?
You know, because it's designed to commiserate with people about things we cannot change, or at least are difficult to change. You know, if you listen to most libertarian, not necessarily like your stand-up comedian libertarianism, like, I don't know, maybe Penn and Teller. But when you get libertarians in a room, the jokes they tell are miserable. They're like,
give me an
they're
example.
All about, why did the libertarian cross the road?
Why?
None of your business. Am I being detained?
That's funny. I really like that one. Yeah, and the fiends do a lot of stuff like, you know, we have the 10-second liners after the segment and before the ad say things like, you know, it's my wife's voice saying, stick around. The fiends will be right back as soon as this drone is out of range.
Yeah. It would be a horrible tragedy if the Freedom Fiends were droned.
Yeah, but we're drone-proof because y'all can go to michaelwdean.com or thefreedomfiends.com, click on the link that says Torrent or Torrent Club, and you can start torrenting the fiends. So if and when we are droned, we can live on in perpetuity, which is, you know, always been a big goal of mine, and I'm kind of working on it. It's probably why I work on this, not making much money, instead of something else that'd make a lot of money, because I want to leave a mark. I want to leave some words. I want to leave some yakking. I'm all about the yakking. You know, I was thinking about
You know what I bet it is? Just really what? Briefly. I think it's that gallows humor is born in a cage, and libertarians, more than most Americans, see the bars of the cage.
Yeah, and statists, blissful statists, think we're lunatics because we see the government gun pointed at our head everywhere. They think we're – and actually, like, in a few years under the Obamacares, that's probably what they'll be, you know, throwing people in mental hospitals for, you know. Like, yeah, he doesn't like authority.
Yeah, it's operant defiant disorder.
Oppositional defiant disorder. Yeah. You know, he thinks everyone's out to get him. He thinks the government's out to get him. What a lunatic.
Let's get him.
Let's get him. There you go. That was some good gallows humor. Yeah, and you know, I was going to say, like, what do you think gallows humor would be like? What do you think libertarian humor would be like in LibPair? You know, once the state's gone, would all the libertarian comedians just be out of a job? I remember.
Well, you can still joke about death. You can still joke about family.
I think it would just be humor. I think it would just be humor. Yeah, it'd be humor without the statism. Like, there's a few comedians I really like. I like, you know, I could listen to them for 2 hours and they make me laugh my head off. But, you know, for like 2 minutes of that 2 hours, they're going to be saying something that's really statist and makes me go, ugh.
Yeah. I like Eddie Izzard, but he does joke a lot about politics.
He likes politics. He likes, yeah. Here's the thing. There's a lot of comedians who are really smart, who I really like, who are great. And then either they go and appear in an anti-gun PSA and I can't watch anymore, or I still can watch him, but I have to suspend my statism. Or, you know, Zach Galifianakis. What's that guy's name? I can't even say it.
I have no idea.
You know, Zach Galifianakis. He's an actor, too, but he's a comedian. The guy with the beard. The guy that looks like Jesus.
Oh, yeah. I could not pronounce his name. I've seen it in text.
What's his first name?
I think it is. Zach, you're talking about the guy from Hangover.
Exactly.
Right. He would play me in a movie. That's who I'd want to play me.
You kind of look like him, man. Yeah. Yeah, the guy that looks like Jesus or a Muslim hipster. Yeah, that guy. But he is great, and his humor is really complicated and spot on and brilliant and not simple, but, you know, accessible at the same time. Kind of the real kind of if I had to make a list of all the things that all the comedians I like have in common, he has all of them. And so does Louis C.K.
Yeah. But he was up against Will Ferrell in The Campaign. That was a really great movie.
But the thing is, Zach ruins it because in every two-hour performance, he does about 2 minutes where he talks about how horrible Republicans are. And he still got me laughing at that point. But then he makes some reference to how, like, we're so
therefore,
much smarter.
Therefore, Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, yeah.
Something
therefore,
like that.
Yes, that's the end of the equation is therefore Barack Obama. Yeah. Whereas,
that's like Richard Brand. Is it Richard Brand?
Yeah. Yeah,
he's really great. He's anti-authoritarian. He's poking fun at the Queen. He, you know, he's awesome. And then he'll be like, therefore, socialism,
which is funny because he was recently like talking about people need to start an Arab Spring in America. You know,
yeah.
for what? Isn't that Occupy Wall Street?
That was the idea, yeah.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people that are anti-authority but don't get it. I mean, Jello Biafra from Dead Kennedys is my classic example. He taught me to hate the government 25 years ago, but, you know, he thinks that he doesn't like Obama because he thinks Obama isn't being effective enough in delivering what Obama promised.
Right.
You know, he's kind of Jello is anti-war, so he doesn't like Obama, but all the socialism at the point of a gun that Obama does, Jello likes, but thinks Obama's failing at it, and that's what he doesn't like about Obama.
I mean, it's also maybe are comedians or big comedians, are they sort of part of Hollywood in the sense that they're all sort of very left, or at least largely very left? Yeah,
or they get co-opted, or they get pressured into doing stupid things and appearing at stupid things and for stupid things. You know, recently the Sibelius, the lady who is in charge of healthcare.gov or whatever the Obamacare website is, she went out to Hollywood to like meet with producers and screenwriters and was really open about this on the talk shows, on the Oprahs, you know. The liberals, you know, conservatives have like angry talk radio and liberals have like the morning ladies talk TV. And, mm-hmm. you know, she was on Oprah or one of those shows or The View talking about how she was going out to Hollywood to meet with producers and directors and screenwriters to get them to insert mentions of Obamacare as a positive thing in movies. I'm like, really?
It's like product placement.
Product placement. Yeah. For the worst product ever. That's, you know, I don't understand how, we try to stay away from tyranny, but here I want to make a joke. Like, I don't understand how these people are forcing people to buy something at gunpoint. Like 5% of the country has signed up for it. Fewer than that have paid for it. Far more people have lost what they already had. And they're like dancing around like it's a victory, you know?
You know, I can't stomach Jim Carrey anymore on account of his cold dead hand video. Have you seen his cold dead hand video? He's making fun, going back to Charlton Heston. He's making fun of Moses.
He's making fun of Moses, man. Making fun of an old dead man. Yeah.
But it's like every anti-gun cliche wrapped up into a rapid fire chorus of a terrible song. And I'm just like, I can't. You produced this and wrote this yourself. I can't handle you anymore.
Does he rap? Is he rapping in it?
No, it's like a spaghetti western kind of song. He's Charlton Heston as a cowboy, and it's whatever. It's terrible.
You know, the left wing illiterati are really having a lot of fun with the thing that happened out in Nevada with the cows in Bunkerville, Nevada. You know, is Bunkerville.
You know, but what people don't realize is it's not really terribly relevant, but the first drone use of domestic drones other than border security was to track down cattle.
Yeah, in North Dakota, right?
Right.
South Dakota. Yeah, pretty near where I'm at. We're on the radio in South Dakota, too. We're on the radio in Wyoming in a station that reaches South Dakota. That's how close that is. I know people in Wyoming that that go shop in South Dakota because they don't have sales tax.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's
speaking of taxes, I can't get away with that. I mean, I do because I don't really declare it, but there's a place on the California state income tax that says if you bought something out of state and you didn't pay California sales tax on it, you have to declare it now. We're calling it a use tax. You're using it in California. And so you owe California sales tax on it.
Yeah, you know, it's that Beatles song, Taxman, back in the day. It says, if you take a walk, I'll tax your feet. If you try to sit, I'll tax your seat. I think it says something about tax the air you breathe. You know, they're kind of getting close to some of that in some ways. Because, of course, carbon credits, which I don't know if they're really happening yet, but they kind of are in a backdoor way. That's taxing the air you breathe. And then, I guess you could make arguments for that. Like, you know, everyone wants clean air. But the one that really blew my mind was in New Hampshire. They are now... There's a few other states, but this just happened in New Hampshire. They're taxing you extra in your property taxes if you have a nice panoramic view from your house.
A view tax.
A view tax.
How luxurious.
A luxury tax. Like in Monopoly, play the luxury tax. Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, it's so square, man. It's so square. And the thing is, like, taxes are not, you know, let's put on the minarchist hat for a minute and pretend they're not immoral and collected at the point of a gun. A lot of times they're used to enforce or prevent a morality that one side or the other wants, you know, like taxes on tobacco because they're bad for you, or taxes on liquor, or taxes on I don't know, there's things connected to education that aren't through public schools. Like, you know, if you buy educational books or like, oh, a really good one is in San Francisco. There's a 1% hotel tax. If you stay in a hotel, there's an extra 1% tacked onto your bill that the city literally all they use that for is for public art in the city. So if you stay at like the Hotel Hilton,
do they charge you 2% if you can see the art from your window?
I don't know, man, because like the Hotel Hilton, the Airport Hilton, you have a view of a runway, and you're paying for like something in a mini park downtown. And the public art in San Francisco is so socialist. It's either socialist or like brutalist, like in the original sense of the word.
I'm pretty convinced that's what public funding for art is about, is if you're an artist and you're getting a grant and you're getting money from the government, how likely are you to produce a work of art that's anti-government?
Yeah, yeah. It's to co-opt the artist because, you know, and it kind of harkens back to like when paintings and sculptures actually meant anything. They don't anymore. Mm-hmm. I imagine that San Francisco is probably – you know, putting all that money to grants through the film foundation there that I used to be a member of to finance films that are awarded not on merit, but on like, oh, we'll give this is a left-handed Lithuanian lesbian single mother from Uganda making a video about her plight.
Is a great work of art that was publicly funded in downtown San Jose. And I learned this as part of a local history. And
let's talk about it when we get back.
Yeah, well, definitely.
Send me a picture of it. You got a picture of it?
Yeah, I'll get that to you.
Yeah. Worms on the Freedom Fiends. I mean, Michael Dean After Dark. I'm so used to Freedom Fiends.
Michael Dean After Dark.
You are destined to be listening to this show, Michael Dean After Dark, on this very night. Thank you for arriving.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Hold your kiddies tight. It's a cold night in Wyoming. This is Mr. Michael Dean, broadcasting live and worldwide from Bunkerville, Wyoming. And I'm using my remote mic. I'm doing a remote man on the street report right now. I'm actually not out on the street. I'm using a mic that I can step away from the computer with because that's useful sometimes. Don't you think, Davi?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You should get a lapel mic and you could walk around your house.
That'd be cool. Yeah. I don't think it'd get the sound quality this one does, though.
I think it would get near the sound quality that one gets. I used a lapel mic that costs like $20 to do almost all the audio in the Guns and Weed movie, all the interviews, and they all sound really good.
Well, they're good enough for sitcoms. I mean, it must talk show hosts. I mean, Hollywood uses them, right?
Yeah, they use ones that cost more than $20 though, They use wireless ones that probably cost $1,000. But yeah, man.
So I want to tell you about this statue. Yeah,
go for it. Go for it.
So you got to understand the history of this statue.
You have to describe it first.
Well, let me start at the beginning.
All right.
The artist originally proposed a statue of justice, like with the sword and the scales. And one of the sort of more puritanical city councilors really kind of railed against it because she bares her breast, and that was, you know, very offensive. And so the artist was sort of incensed by this conservative councilman guy. And so he proposed something else. And what it is it's a statue of Quetzalcoatl, which is like a Mexican sort of serpent, feathered serpent god. And the reason he did that is because he knew that this politician's constituents were mostly Mexican in San Jose. And if he came out publicly against this statue, it would be very bad for him. But the statue is specifically designed to look like a coiled pile of dog poo. So there is a giant brown coiled dog poo in the middle of Central Park in San Jose. And that's not a coincidence. The artist designed it to look that way.
So it was art as a weapon against stupidity.
Right.
Which is really what the best art often is. You know, I'm not really that moved by beautiful art. I'm moved by propaganda art. And all the art I make is propaganda. I mean, all the movies I make, all the music I make now, it's all for the purpose of liberty. And there's a lot of art that's the thing that kind of bothers me, that because it confuses me, is really beautiful art that is socialist propaganda. Like, who was the lady with one eyebrow across her head that was a famous painter who was married to another famous painter?
I know the painting. I didn't know that was a socialist thing, but
the husband did a lot of socialist art. He actually did some socialist art. It's all like workers of the world working kind of art. He does a lot of,
okay.
What is his name?
I don't know.
There's a lot of murals by him. I mean, he only died a few years, 20 years ago or something. There's a lot of murals by him all over California. In San Francisco City College has a mural by him. 50 Rockefeller Center or 30 Rockefeller Center, the NBC building, the lobby in New York City has a giant mural by him. It's all workers. It's all workers working away. Oh, the picture that I'm going to use for today's podcast episode post is a really great meme that's been going around that says, and it's in the style of like old Soviet or American World War II style propaganda worker art. And, like the lady, what's her name? Rosie the Riveter kind of stuff.
Okay.
That kind of art. Sure. And it says, it's a man hitting an anvil with a hammer in that style. And it says, what is it? Expendable government workers. It says non-essential government workers unite. Nothing will not get done without you. And they've replaced the hammer in the guy's hand with a banana. So he's hitting an anvil with a banana. It's really awesome. That's the kind of art I like, man.
Man. Appeal to my brain, not my eyes. I want art that makes people think.
You said appeal in a banana sentence. Back to little kid jokes. That's very appealing, Dobby.
Right.
Yeah. I'm lying down on my bed. It's nice.
That's good. It's probably good for your back.
I'm not propositioning you or anything. No homo. Well,
The distance is difficult to traverse. So.
Well, I'm going to meet you soon, and I'm still not going to. We're both happily married, mostly heterosexual men. You're probably all man, aren't you?
All man? Yeah, most of me.
Zach Zinkelfinkus will play you in the story of your life. So what else you got, man? Banker's Heart. Let's talk about Banker's Heart.
Yeah, Banker's Heart. I didn't know that was the name of this piece of art, but it totally makes sense now. It's a big
stone.
Like granite black stone in the middle of the financial district.
Cold black stone lump in front of the Bank of America headquarters in San Francisco. Yeah, the bike messengers, when I was a bike messenger, we dubbed that Banker's Heart because it's cold and stone. We'll be back.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, the invigorating alternative to those other late night shows.
Want to contribute to liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Yeah. Hold your kitties tight, because we're talking about gallows humor here. Gallows. Isn't that a town in New Mexico? Gallows, New Mexico?
Is it?
I don't know.
Isn't a gallows the thing you hang people from?
Yeah, but I keep pronouncing it like gallows instead of gallows. So we got a little bit of gallows humor here. We're going to play this thing that you sent me. Did you send me this, I think, this college humor? Or did Nikki send me this?
No, you sent this to me.
Yeah, the social consequences of everything. It's pretty funny. The only thing you won't get from just hearing the audio is at one point the guy pulls out a gun. And now that I've said that, you'll probably get that from context. So here we go.
Whoa. Sam canceled work today.
Why? The weather's fine.
He said there's a goose in his yard and he's afraid to come out. Well, we've got the whole day. What do you want to do?
Ooh, the new Woody Allen movie's supposed to be good.
I don't know. He's accused of some pretty bad stuff.
Right. Never mind.
What about March Madness? We could watch a game.
I don't know how I feel about the NCAA exploiting kids who risk their bodies for no pay.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Let's go find Adam and make fun of his fedora.
I just watched a documentary on bullying.
Guys, another goose day. Want to get lunch? McDonald's?
Promotes childhood obesity. Grilled chicken?
Ooh, have you seen those cages? Salads?
Exploiting migrant farmers? Quinoa.
Huge carbon footprint. Tofu?
Genetically modified soybean.
Hey, you guys want a ditch? Come to my place, watch Seinfeld?
Not a lot of diversity in that cast.
Okay, honey boo boo.
Poverty tourism.
24?
Torture porn.
Girls?
Nepotistic casting.
The news.
Makes money off panic.
Okay, we could play Mario.
Regressive gender stereotypes.
Okay, well, you guys want to go to the beach, wade into the ocean, and lie on our backs for hours?
I could do that.
I'm down.
I'll drive.
Carbon monoxide.
We can take the bus.
Oh.
Public transportation spreads disease.
I have hand sanitizer.
Super germs.
Also, I just realized that the ocean idea is bad because technically we'd be littered.
Why don't we?
Animal cruelty. What if we?
It's practically slavery. We can.
No! The terrorists will win.
We could kill ourselves. Just end it all. Have freedom from all social judgment. The terrible awareness that came with the age of information. A return to before, when there were no upworthy videos reminding you of how your every selfish act orphans a child a world away.
Jesus Christ, Adam, no! We'd be tacitly supporting the gun lobby.
And the energy costs of cremation are astronomical.
Don't even get me started on traditional burials. I mean, the hubris.
Okay, well, you guys want to go sit in a dark, dark basement and wait for tomorrow?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
You guys like my hat?
Oh, those zany young people at college. What'd you think of that?
I sometimes feel like I live in that basement.
The basement they end up going into at the end to get away from
everything. That is, we were talking about, like, the affecting the liberal accent, and they really had it, like, ooh, no.
Yeah.
it's hilarious. It's everything, right? It's you can't do anything.
Yeah, I wonder what the politics of the people in that video are. I mean, they're pretty able to make fun of themselves if they are what they look like, which is a bunch of lefty college students.
Well, they might just be dressed that way.
Yeah, maybe. There's a lot of good kind of skit humor coming out, like short video movie stuff that's really funny on YouTube that's really well done. It's like, you know, acted, scripted,
yeah,
lit, filmed, edited.
One of the best comedy troupes well. I know on YouTube is a group called The Whitest Kids.
I knew you were going to say that. They're amazing.
Yeah, you knew. Yeah. they're phenomenal.
Yeah, except they can kind of like sometimes on their longer form stuff, I have to skip through stuff because like the war on drugs, the Civil War on Drugs skit. Have you seen that one?
No, I'm not sure.
It runs through like a whole season of their stuff and it just kind of gets like, okay, I get it. You know, it's comparing the war on drugs to if it were the Civil War and it just gets tedious. Basically my only complaint with them is they can drive a joke to death and not in a good way, not in the way that we like of humor being about death and making fun of death, but they can just make you stop laughing because they kind of push the same joke so many different ways over and over and over.
Okay. I can see that. I mean, I don't subscribe to them and watch every episode, but definitely like some funny stuff from them. The Clint Webb campaign commercials, I think, really put them on the map because they got syndicated over LRN.
Huh, Clint Webb. Oh, yeah, the guy who's like, my wife is pretty, but not too pretty, because I don't want to threaten you. I wear a flag pin, because you won't vote for me otherwise. That one? That guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
I'm very concerned about this state I moved to 2 weeks ago.
Well, people could say that about the Free Staters, too. But, you know, the thing is that I don't see the Free Staters as coming in and trying to tell people how to do things by getting politically involved in New Hampshire. I see it as because nothing the Free Staters want to do makes anyone less free, which is what all politics do. They try to make people more free.
Yeah, they move in and they try to get people to stop making people do other things.
Yeah. How do you feel about working within the system?
I don't have the stomach for it. I you know, there's a parable, maybe you've heard, I think it's William Penn was the first Quaker or the founder of Quakerism, and there's a parable about a young Quaker coming to him and saying, you know, I know Quakers are supposed to be pacifists, but I don't feel safe if I'm not carrying a sword. And William Penn says to him, carry it as long as you can. And the boy eventually gets uncomfortable and decides that he's going to stop carrying it, but he does it when it's sincerely coming from him and his motivations, right? So when it comes to voting, when it comes to political inside the system activism, I just say, you know, vote as long as you can. Because I can't anymore. I go in, the last time I went into a ballot box, it was to vote for Ron Paul, and I felt utterly humiliated doing it. So I don't have the patience for it. I don't have the attention. Yeah.
Why'd you feel humiliated doing it?
Because it was like begging. It was like, here's this symbolic gesture that I know will accomplish nothing that I am doing just to make a statement that no one will read.
They probably just threw away – in California, they probably threw away all the Ron Paul votes and didn't even count them.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. Or Mickey Mouse or Pee Wee Herman or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, voting's so square. Why is voting square?
I feel like it's not acknowledging the reality of the situation. It's like there is very little that you could do that is more statistically insignificant than voting. And people act like you have to do it. It's the bare minimum. And if you don't do it, you can't complain and all this nonsense. And it's like, but it's the same either way. Like, I would accomplish more if I spent that 10 minutes like going to the grocery store and buying a candy bar or something. Like, yeah. My life would be better improved if I spent that 10 minutes watching the whitest kids you know on YouTube. Like,
yeah, you know, my dad, who's 93, came out about a year ago to visit and stayed about a week with my wife and I, and he's really into that. I don't like Obama, he loves it, but I told him at one point that I don't vote anymore, and he sat down. Like, he was standing up, ready to walk out the door with me to go shooting. And he, like, sat down on the couch like he was crestfallen. Like I just told him I was gay or something. And he's very homophobic.
It's weird. It's an emotional addiction that people have.
Yeah. Like, he really...
And I want to be clear. I'm not abstaining from voting out of apathy. I am not an inactive person by any means.
Yeah, definitely like, not. Me neither.
And for me, when I consciously decided not to vote, it was like... It was like wool being taken off of my eyes. It was like suddenly I realized, oh, I have to actually go and do something now.
Yeah. What do you do? Tell us what you do. I know what you do, but not everybody listening knows.
Well, I do lots of things. You know, I've written a couple of books, and I go to a lot of these dinners. So if I need to influence politics, I go to these dinners where they sit and I tell them what I think. But, you know, I also do a lot of media. I do a lot of interviews. I sell these products at shinybadges.com. That are all sort of mockeries of state insignias. And the reason that I do that is because I want to demystify them. I want to mock them. It's gallows humor. Shiny badges is gallows humor.
Right? You actually have a badge that looks like a cop badge. What's it say on it?
It says, shiny badges don't grant extra rights. And it's modeled off of the Keene police badge in New Hampshire. And $10 from every sale of a we call it a natural law enforcement badge, goes to copblock.org.
What is CopBlock? Tell us about CopBlock.org.
CopBlock.org is a group of activists started by Pete Ayer and Adamo Freeman, and now it's decentralized. There's chapters all over the country, and they're about filming police and creating an objective record so that when police overstep their boundaries, there's a check, there's a public outcry, there's a it's about accountability of police by recording them, right? It's the philosophy the camera is the new gun, right? So you go there and you see what the police do. And it's not like – if you just pay attention to headlines, you'd think they are bad apples, but it's not. It's a bad apple cart.
I like the decentralized – I like everything about it, but I like the decentralized part too, because then if Pete Air gets droned, it doesn't stop. I really don't like organizations with great men. And, you know, it's kind of like the story you told about the Quaker. There's so many parables from the past about great men being asked something and responding something pithy that defines the person. And a lot of times they're not even true. Like Lincoln did not walk 6 miles in the snow to return 6 cents to somebody. You know?
To be clear, that story is disputed as to whether it's historically accurate.
Yeah. And, you know, all the religions have those, and all of the political religions have those of every country. You know, I'd be really interested to see, like, in Croatia or Lithuania, what the stories about their founding fathers were. I'm sure every country has those.
What is the founding myth of that sort of secular religion?
Yeah, I'd like to know. I'm sure they do, because patriotism is universal. Every country thinks they're the best. And, you know, the best gallows humor kind of, or just dark humor guy I like is Mel Brooks. In one of his movies, they had a bunch, you know, they were talking about, it's two cavemen, and they're talking about how, or somebody talking about how back in the caveman days, every cave had their own national anthem. And he said, what was your national anthem? And he said, let them all go to hell except Cave 71. And that's pretty much sums up every national anthem ever, you know. They're all about murder and war.
There's probably also a libertarian streak in almost all humor, because all it's like the jester is the only one who's willing to tell the truth about the king, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, the most libertarian comic who's well known, I think, is Doug Stanhope, and his stuff is really dark and really good.
Yeah.
He has a spiel about helping his mother, who had cancer, skirt the law. He helped her kill herself. He went to a doctor who, he said, I went to my lawyer first, and he says he has a lawyer who's kind of like Saul Goodman in Breaking Bad, and he advised him on it. And
a criminal attorney.
Yes. You don't want a criminal attorney. You want a criminal attorney. We'll be back with more on Michael Dean After Dark.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. And yes, we're broadcasting this message into space.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations, and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yeah. Good evening. It's almost time for bed for all the cool cats and kitty catty ladies out there on Michael Dean After Dark Land, listening on the LRNs and the GCNs and the podcasts and the radios in Cairo and the radios in Paducah. And Dobby and I were just sending pictures to each other of our windowless gun bunkers, which was inspired by, I saw a picture of my friend Anthony Bouchard's radio studio where he does his new cast internet radio show called Guns and Liberty Radio. And he has a really nice little, very clean looking room, and it's very well sound conditioned, and it's got, a rifle and a shotgun and another rifle on the wall. It's got an AR-15 and a deer rifle.
and a lot of microphones and computers, and it looks really nice. What do you got there, Davi?
As far as a setup?
Did you send me? You sent me a picture, huh?
I sent you a picture. Yeah, I got, you know, I have a home office, right? And so I have a desk and I have some bookshelves and things. I've got my mic set up in kind of a weird way. It's on kind of a, it's underneath kind of an igloo of like a quilted blanket to give it some sound dampening. I live in an apartment with hardwood floors, and that's just no good for audio. So. Yeah.
Well, eventually we'll get you to get the other mic that's cheaper. You should sell the $100 mic you have and get the cheaper, better mic that's $60. Doesn't pick up as much room noise.
Yeah.
And we advertise that mic on michaelwdean.com.
Yeah, what's it called?
It's called the Audio Technica USB 2005.
Cool.
Yep. I like you kind of have blankets up like it looks like you've improvised like a clothes changing station, like you're modest and don't want to be seen.
Sort of. You can't really see the whole thing. There's hooks in the ceiling. From those, there are two sets of shoelaces. From there, I am hanging a broom, and then I've thrown a blanket over that broom.
Yeah. Mine's a little more permanent. I've nailed rugs to the wall, but it looks nice. They look like real rugs. Yeah. They're from Walmart.
I usually use this to hang the backdrop I use for video calls or like the Bitcoin group or things like that. I'll hang a backdrop when I do video.
Do you have a backdrop with like a picture of the San Francisco skyline behind it like they do on Fox News if you're calling in from the Bay Area anywhere?
No, but that's funny.
That's what really, I think you should have a picture of Banker's Heart or that turd art in San Jose.
Now, normally I have the Bitcoin Not Bombs art behind me with the bomber dropping the bitcoins.
What's the red thing hanging in the middle of this picture?
The red thing hanging
in the very top middle of
the
picture.
That's the end of the broom. It's like a dustpan.
Okay. All right. Enough of us describing what the audience can't see.
They have to squint.
What's our redemption in the third act going to be here? I think it's going to be just talking about humor in general. Oh, your mic looks like it's on display. Yeah, these are very Indian looking. Are these... What are these? What is the country of origin of this print underneath the mic?
That's a prayer rug, actually. My cat
sacrilege?
No, it's just a carpet.
Oh,
you know, surprising fact: the Prophet Muhammad did not pray on a prayer rug. It's a completely, it's an innovation.
Well, the pictures that are on the rugs that are on my wall are copies of Persian prayer rugs, and I actually grew up surrounded by prayer rugs, and I was not Muslim. My mother owned a store called Oriental Bazaar, which sold a lot of Oriental rugs, Far East rugs. And
my mom did a lot of world traveling when she was young, and so I grew up around a lot of sort of textiles and little sculptures. She especially liked elephants. So our whole house was kind of like an international museum of artifacts from her traveling.
Mine was too. That's something we have in common, because my mother's store was only open in the summer, and it was 10 miles away from our house. So in the winter, she would bring home a lot of the stuff so it wouldn't get ripped off. So basically, I grew up in a home full of fine antiques and Oriental rugs with price tags on them, which is kind of weird. It's kind of weird to grow up in a house where everything has a price tag on it.
Maybe that's why you ended up a capitalist.
Maybe it is. All right, man. It's been a good show. And we've talked
humor to death.
We talked humor to death. Thank you. Yeah, I will give that I'll give that three worms up.
Worms.
Yeah. We're like Wheels Off Liberty, but not drunk. Worms.
This has been Michael Dean After Dark. I hope we've helped calm the hamster in your brain and left you in a better place than where we found you. We'll be here 5 nights a week, same time and channel. In the meantime, go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. Thank you and have a wonderful evening. Good night.